Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Our study today is a part two from last week. The title is, for today, Apprehended. And this is part two, and this is our opening take. The Apostle Paul was apprehended by Christ. And once apprehended, he never shook off the grasp of Jesus, and he began to live as an apprehended man. It is as if the Apostle Paul said to himself, I cannot follow the world, for Christ has apprehended me. I cannot go after false doctrine, because Christ has apprehended me and shown me the truth. I cannot be a self-seeker and live only for me and mine, for Christ has apprehended me and crucified the me in me with himself. Therefore, I cannot cease to live or share or teach or preach the gospel. Why? The Apostle Paul said, because Christ has apprehended me. I cannot do anything but live for him who died for me. My master has apprehended me and put me under his parole so that I can keep close to him forever. It's as if the Apostle Paul said, I am not going to even think or live as if I'm out of here. I will not, I must not, I cannot, I dare not, and I would not break parole and leave him and his jurisdiction over me. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, as we take time now to open your word and consider the sacred scriptures, we invite your Holy Spirit, which has been walking up and down the aisles of the church this day, to open our hearts and our minds to simple Bible truth. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So please open your Bibles with me to Philippians, the third chapter. And we wish to consider our reading for a second week. Philippians chapter 3. And we would like to begin with verse number 5. The Apostle Paul is sharing a little bit of his personal testimony with the believers at the church of Philippi. And we pick up his conversation in verse number 5, where he says that he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrew. And as touching the law, what was he when it came to touching the law? A Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said he was blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Then he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards something. What did he say he pressed towards? Yeah, the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. And so there we have it. The Apostle Paul said that Christ had apprehended him. And you remember, we talked a little bit about that word apprehended, which means to take or to receive or to grasp according to something. And so the Apostle Paul said, Christ has grasped me. He has apprehended me according and to a particular purpose. And last week we talked about that apprehension that Christ had upon the Apostle Paul and how today Christ is still in the business of apprehending people. Amen? Still in the business of grasping and snatching us from the ways and the temptations of the devil. Today we want to move on to the thought of why the Apostle Paul was apprehended by Christ. Why are any of us apprehended by God? Why does God apprehend people? And let me just throw that out to you. Why does God apprehend us? I heard something over here. What was it? Yeah, he loves us. The main reason why God apprehends us is because he loves us. The Apostle Paul simply said, Christ has apprehended me, he has loved me, and I have accepted what he has called me to do. He began to understand more practically what the Apostle John already knew and told the Christian world, that for God so what? The world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and who is the whosoever? That's us. That's anybody who has ever walked the planet, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So why does God apprehend people? Why did Christ apprehend the Apostle Paul? Because Christ loved the Apostle Paul and desired to save him, to convert him, and to make him a new man, and to turn him from his old ways and pursuits, which were on the selfish and legalistic side, and put him on a quite different road and path. And that is why Christ has apprehended us, to save us. He desires that none should perish. You remember in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible talks about how God is not slack concerning his promises as some are, but he is long-suffering towards us, and he's not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life and be saved. And so he desires to make us new people in Christ. This conversion, if we stick with it and by faith live for Christ day by day, is going to be complete one day. Christ offers us his righteousness. He offers us his life. He offers us his mind and the way he thinks. He offers us his spirit, which then lives within us and brings the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and just all the fruits are given when we accept Christ's apprehension of our lives. We have been apprehended by the love of God. And Paul says, in a nutshell, now that I am apprehended, I am going to live for those things that Christ apprehended me for in the first place. And we're going to talk about some of those things, but he lays the foundation on how he's going to be able to do that. He says that I forget the things that are behind me, and what do? I look forward to, and I press towards the mark of the prize of the power and the love of God. And so how is it that we can apprehend, from a practical standpoint, how is it that we can apprehend the things of God for which he has apprehended us in the first place? Paul tells us, we forget the things that are behind, and we press on towards the prize that God has given to us of his high calling. Oftentimes in Scripture, at least when you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, he talks about this idea of running the race and pressing on towards the prize. And when you do that, how many of you have done much running in your life growing up, or maybe anybody in the runner's world today? I see a few hands going up. Yeah. When I was in elementary school, I ran from the bullies in the neighborhood. I was the smallest guy on the block, usually. Not usually, I was. And so by the time I was like in my middle elementary grade years, one of our teachers put us out on the playground. He lined us up against this fence, and he said, you're going to run a race, and I want you guys to run across, you know, this area is about 100 yards, over to the other side. Well, I got to the other side almost first. Another guy was just ahead of me, and then I came in second. And the teacher said, well, you guys sure run good. And I was thinking to myself, well, you got that right. I have to run good. So I started running the race, particular races. I wasn't fast, so I couldn't do the 40-yard dash and the 100-yard dash. I'd come off the line, and I would be last at the end. But it seemed like I could run forever. And so I ran the mile, and I ran other cross-country races. And I remember one particular race. Our coaches taught us, yeah, when you run, whether it's a short race like a sprint, 100-yard dash, or a longer race, you keep your eyes forward at how much of the race? The whole thing. If you're running a race, whether that's the 100-yard dash, or you're running the mile, or you're doing cross-country, and you're constantly looking behind, what's going to happen? Somebody is going to pass you by. You might finish the race, but you're not going to finish very well. It's hard to run and really do anything in going forward if we're constantly looking behind. And so the Apostle Paul says, forget the things that are behind. And he's not saying in terms of forgetting that you don't remember anything in the past. He's just saying everything that you were tied up with, that was your main focus, what you were living for and seeking for, those kind of things are to be set aside. And the principles of Christ and his kingdom are now the focus. In high school, I ran a race. It was an 8K race. It started up on the track and field area of Auburn Academy, went down a hill called Muckleshoot, a steep hill that winded down about a mile into the valley. And then we ran out along the Green River and had a spot where we turned around. And then we had to race back up Muckleshoot Hill and then the last quarter mile on straight level to the finish line. And when I was coming back up Muckleshoot, I noticed the guy in front of me, he kept looking behind him. And when he kept looking behind him, guess what I knew? I knew I was going to take him. You know? And our coaches taught us, yeah, you don't look behind. You keep looking. You stay focused. You look forward towards the finish line. And by the time we got to the top of Muckleshoot, I had passed him, and I was running that last quarter mile to the finish line. And I did see the backside of one person, a friend named Lauren Davis. He set the record for the 8K race there and still holds the record. And when he took off from the start line to where he hit the tape at the finish line, he had his head tucked, he had his focus straight, and no one even came close to him. He finished well, and finish strong. So the Apostle Paul is simply saying, he said, I'm going to apprehend the things of God for which God apprehended me for in the first place. How am I going to do that? Not going to focus on the past and the selfishness and the sin and the temptation and all that. He said, I'm focusing on the prize in Christ Jesus. And if I do that, I know I will finish the race strong. So Christ apprehended the Apostle Paul out of his great love to save him. And then Paul says, okay, I'm now going to apprehend the things that you saved me for. So what else was he apprehended for? Christ apprehended Paul to make him a witness. Why did Christ apprehend Paul? To make him a witness for him. And question, was Paul a faithful witness for Christ? Yes. He shared Christ everywhere he went. He went back to Jerusalem after his call, and he shared with all Israel, which of course shocked most of Israel. He then went up to Asia Minor, of that part of the world up north. He continued west to what would become the European nations, and he ended up in the capital of the then known world, Rome, still sharing Christ until the day he died. Paul was apprehended to be Christ's witness. We are apprehended by Christ to witness for him as well. Amen. For us, it's the gospel in the context of an end-time message called the Three Angels Message. And I praise God for the privilege that I have with working with you here in Holland, Michigan, as we strive to share the story of Christ in the context of the great prophetic message that God has called us to. And question, has God tremendously blessed you in your life? Has God blessed this church? Yes. Does God still have more blessings to give us? Yes. There's still more to do. So what should be our attitude? Our attitude is we press forward. We look forward, grasping the things that God has apprehended us in the first place. You and I are not being saved. Follow this thought. You and I are not being saved so that we might only go to heaven. We are saved that we might share God's loving plan of redemption and bring others with us. There will be a certain number of people who will receive eternal life because I have pointed them to Jesus who can save to the uttermost. There will be a certain number of people who will be saved because you have pointed them to Christ and told them the old, old story of Jesus and his love. A few years ago, I met my brother, Dennis. We were both in our 50s, and we met each other for the first time. And Dennis has been joining our church service. He lives in Duval, Washington, at the base of the Cascades on the east side of Seattle. And he's been joining us live stream for, I think, for some time. And he's joining us today, by the way. So, Dennis, hey, glad you have joined us. And you know what he did? He watched the service last Sabbath, and after the service, he texted me. And he made a comment of, you know, I told a short story of the first time I was apprehended. You know, my buddies and I, you remember, we thought that we would lift lunch from Foss's grocery store. I was to get the goods and the drinks. And so Dennis texted me after our worship service last week. Let me just share with you what he said here. Let me find it. So this is his take on our service last Sabbath. He says, aha, bootlegging root beer. And so I guess that was it. So Dennis, I don't do that anymore, just so that you know. And also, please don't tell Mom. So I met Dennis for the first time a few years ago. We were both in our 50s. You know, me and my siblings, we were wards of the court of the state of Washington growing up. So we were not raised together. And so a few years back, Dennis gave me a call at the church office there in the Walla Walla Valley. And we talked for a short while. And he came to the Walla Walla Valley and visited me and my family. And that struck up several conversations after that. He had questions about this book that we call the Bible. He didn't have one. We made sure that he got one. Had questions about God's love, questions about God's will. And I had the privilege of sharing the truth with my brother Dennis. And probably a year ago, he gave me a call on the phone. And as I answered the phone, I heard tears in his voice. And he said, Mike, I just wanted to tell you, thank you for sharing with me the truth. You see, one of the reasons why Christ has apprehended us, so that we could apprehend the things that he wants to give us. And one of the reasons why he has apprehended us, so that we can be a witness for him and his love. And then you know what my brother Dennis did? He shared the truth with our mother. And they went to a series of meetings in Monroe, Washington a few years back. There was an Amazing Facts evangelist there. My brother was baptized and my mom was baptized. Praise God. Yeah. Give a shout out for my brother Dennis today. Amen.
Amen.
Did you hear that, Dennis? Thank you for sharing the truth. What a privilege we have. These things make us happy. And my heart's desire is that you and I may get all that Christ means us to get. That we may apprehend all for which Christ has apprehended us. There is somebody in this world whom you have to bring to Christ. I don't know who he or she is or where they live, but you better be prayerfully looking for them. When Jesus comes and we receive our heavenly reward, it will be a high honor to appear as winners of souls. And I believe that on that great day, kings will remove their crowns in comparison to the crowns of those who turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. There are a few other reasons why Christ has apprehended us. And I'm cognizant of our time now, so I'm going to turn a few pages in my notes. One of the reasons why Christ has apprehended us is so that we might be able to not only be a blessing here on earth, but to be a blessing through all eternity. Did you know that Christ has given an illustration that if we accept his great plan in our lives, that he will help us to be faithful down here to apprehend his principles and his commands, but then we will also have responsibilities throughout the universe, throughout all eternity. How did Jesus say it? Concerning those who had been faithful and diligent in their service for him down here, he said, in heaven, one shall have authority over 10 cities, and another shall be ruler over 5 cities. As we have proved our ability down here, such will be the dominion that Christ shall give us throughout ages to come. I believe that every action in this mortal life that is in harmony with God's will thrill throughout all eternity. Not a word is spoken, but the echo of it shall be heard when time shall be no more. So if you and I apprehend to the fullest, if we press on toward the mark of the high calling of Christ for the great purpose for which Christ has apprehended us, we will be surprised to find out how the little we did down here shall bring great reward up there. So check it out. God apprehends us. What does God do? He apprehends us. He then gives his people his power and his blessings and his works. And then in heaven, he rewards us for it. He works in us to will and to do, and then by his grace, we will and do, and then he gives us a reward for the willing and the doing. You and I are not going to find or get a better thing than that. And then if we have served the Lord down here, we will be as a monument of his love and mercy up there. The angels of heaven. And how many of you are grateful for the angels of heaven? The angels of heaven. And you know the Bible teaches that we all have guardian angels. How many of you are looking forward to meeting your guardian angel? I am. At least I think I am. Sometimes I've tried to envision it, you know. I don't know about you guys, but I talk to my guardian angel. You know, I don't pray to him. We pray to God. But there's been times when I know that something should have happened and it didn't. And so I just let my guardian angel know, hey, I appreciate it. You know, and sometimes I envision my first meeting with my guardian angel, and I don't know for sure how that's going to go, but I can almost think that he's going to come walking up to me and I say, hey, guardian angel. And he says, you! Sit down. Yeah, let's have a chat here. No, I don't think that's the way it's going to be. But I think our angels are going to be talking to us and sharing of all the times that they had our back. Amen. Yeah, so the angels of heaven, you know, as you and I, throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, share God's love and what he has done for us in redeeming us, the angels of heaven will listen to all this. They will stop by and talk with us and see and hear what God has done for us. They will see what God has written upon the tables of our hearts. And can you imagine the angel Gabriel stopping by to hear your story? You know, John, let's say that you're telling your story of God's love on some planet in some other quadrant of the universe. And the angel Gabriel were to stop by and to listen to your story. He hears, he listens to your testimony, he listens to your praise, he listens to your thanksgivings. And when he's done listening, he can't stand still. His eyes get really wide. A smile comes across his face. His muscles start to twitch and flex. His wings prepare for flight, and he says to the other angels, did you hear John's story? Did you hear that? I've got to bounce. And he takes off in a flash, clapping his hands and flying more swiftly than he has ever before. And as he leaves and takes off, all can hear him say, bless the Lord for what he did for that man. Bless the Lord for what he did for that woman. Bless the Lord. God's love and God's grace and God's mercy and God's power are surely conspicuous there. And so Christ has apprehended you, and he's apprehended me. So as we are to be seen throughout all eternity, May we be fitted down here to be seen day by day. Amen. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we are so grateful for the privilege we've had to consider your word this day, to worship you. And Father, we thank you for your great love that has apprehended us, that has grasped us. Lord, it's our harsh desire to apprehend and grasp all the things that you would have us to do for you and others. And now, please keep us to this and go with us as we leave this place. We ask in the name of Jesus, and let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Ottagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.